Hey friend, really proud of this Portfolio Career Podcast episode with Ray Slaterberry. Ray is the social media manager at Remote Year, a future of work startup financed by venture capitalist firms like Flybridge Capital Partners. Remote Year designs and leads programs around the world for remote workers and companies. Remote Year has been featured on CNBC, New York Times, and The Washington Post, just to name a few. They have some exciting 4 and 12 month programs starting in March and April if you're interested. Ray talks about the new strong bonds that are formed with peers in the program and how they have contributed to his work as well. He is currently working with content creators to document and share the Remote Year experience. I can't wait to see that. I'm also working with a startup on their podcast. So if you're a content creator and company executive and want a podcast, I'm happy to tell you more about what to expect. So please email me or check out my website, portfoliocareerpodcast.com, for more information. Deemed a life milestone, Ray talks about the book that he just authored called Golden Boy. It just came out. Ray mentions how special this book is to him and would love your support. So to connect with Ray, go check out his Instagram at RaySlaterB. He expresses his long-standing desire to get paid from his mind, not for his time, something we should all aspire to do. And I want to help you achieve this. I'm thankful to Remote Year and their broader team for bringing Ray and I together at the Future of Work Summit earlier this year in New York. So tune in to build and grow your portfolio career. And as always, let me know what you think. Cool. Welcome to Portfolio Career Podcast. Your host, David Nabinski, is here with Ray Slaterberry. How's it going, Ray?
I'm good, thank you. Very good.
Cool. So if we were to go to an event tonight, Ray, how do you typically introduce yourself?
Good question. I am Ray Slaterberry. I write in my free time, and I'm a social media manager for Remote Year.
Okay, cool. And for people that don't know about Remote Year and also kind of where you are, you're traveling across Central America?
Yeah. Yeah. So I, Remote Year is basically an enabler for remote workers to carry on with their job or their current role and travel the world with it. So Remote Year offers 4 to 12 month programs, and I am currently on a 4 month program, and we started in Lima, in Peru, and next up we went to Colombia, we went to Medellin and Bogota, and now I'm on my final month of the 4 month in Mexico City.
And how did you start working at Remote Year?
I think I'd had my eye on Remote Year for a long time. I'd probably known about them for a year, and I had a few friends that worked in the company, and I was just waiting for something to come up that suited me and suited my role and my skill set. And social media coordinator came up, and I said, you know what, that's it, I'm in. And I did everything I needed to do to get my resume into the right hands. I passed it through friends that were working there and did the official application process as well. And yeah, it was quite a long process, actually. It was about a 2-3 month process, but I eventually got in. I know there were, they had just over 400 qualified applicants for the role. So something I still hold quite proud is I beat them all to it. Got this position.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, it's a privilege and an honor to be talking to you now. And I guess you mentioned like skill set was, you saw the role and you said that matches with my skill set. Like maybe talk a little bit more about your skill set.
Yeah. I'm a writer at heart. I've always wanted to write, whether that's long form, short form, whether that's fiction, nonfiction. I've always kind of cherished the idea of being paid for my mind and not for manual labor. And I've always wanted to, push myself and my writing skills. So at the time that I actually left university, social media was a big game changer. And I saw it as an opportunity for me to write and create. And I love the idea of, getting behind a brand. And I don't know why. It's a really odd kind of area for me to fall into. But after that, I was like, yep, sold. Like, social media it is. And it's a hugely in demand role. Like every company needs social media at the moment. So as soon as I saw that Remote Year had that social media role coming up, I was actually in a much different position and possibly a higher position. I was a head of creative strategy for internally for another company. And so it almost was like a step down in terms of position, but I saw it as a step up in terms of company because I thought that Remote Year were working with a purpose and like a stronger kind of purpose, and they were changing the way we work and the way the world works. And so I was like, yes, I'm going to go for this, and I'll work my way up in that company, but I'm willing to take the step down.
That's fascinating. I love that, getting paid for your mind and not necessarily your time.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that kind of like a motto of yours?
Well, I studied English literature and creative writing, and I did a master's in professional business writing. And after that, I just thought, you know, Ray, you've put in so much time, so much money, so much effort into getting these degrees and nourishing what I would like to consider as a talent. And I was like, never go back to not using this talent. I want to be pushing it every day. I want to be testing it. I want to keep myself on my toes. So however I can do that in a job kind of realm, I will.
Awesome. Well, I'd love to, you mentioned, talked about Remote Year and changing work and the future of work and how companies work. So can't wait to dive into that more. But, you know, while we started talking about writing, I'd love to learn about your upcoming book, Golden Boy.
Yes. Yeah, my first ever novel. It's actually in the print house at the moment, which is crazy. I cannot believe it. So it actually originated at university, and we had a kind of prompt for a short story, and that prompt was to take a saying that people usually say and to make that literal. So in the UK, probably elsewhere as well, but we'll say something like, oh, you're driving me up the wall, or it's raining cats and dogs outside, and things like that. So I took the saying, you have a heart of gold, and put that into a literal sense. And so I said to myself, okay, what would happen if you were born with a heart of gold? Of course, you wouldn't be able to live. However, the kind of thought process there is that you were such a genuine, kind, caring person. So that prompt fed and led the way for Golden Boy. And it's about a lady called Barbara Bridges who has a stillborn son and writes a series of letters to this son overcoming her loss. And in an effort to kind of deal with her grief, she develops a questionable relationship with a child in her town. So it's a very, I would say it's a drama, kind of verging on psychological thriller. But it's come literally out of the air, and it's an idea I've been running with for the last 7 years. And, you know, sometimes the book goes away and gets, you know, put on the shelf for months at a time. And last summer, I left my last company and I said, Ray, when else are you going to have the time and the effort to be able to fully focus on this book? So I took 5 months or 6 months off work and was writing full time. And, you know, I was in the mind of this lady who was kind of going off the rails, and I was writing as her for 5 to 6 hours a day. And it was emotionally exhausting. There'll be times when I'd be crying at my laptop because I was so sad of what I was putting this lady through. And I pull away and I kind of couldn't go out that night because I was so engulfed in this other life. And I felt like I'd been through everything. And so I finished the book last summer. I actually met my editor and publisher and my designer on the road. They're all remote, so they're part of the Remote Year program. And I met them. I met my editor and publisher back in April. And I said, Ray, you got to take some actions here. You know, you've got to, if you want this book to publish, it's up to you now. Like writing, they don't tell you writing is about 50% of the work. The other 50% is what comes afterwards. So yeah, I signed with my editor and publisher, and the book is actually available for pre-order now, which is like, I literally can't believe it. And I'm getting the first 10 copies shipped to Mexico next week, and I'll have the physical copy in my hand in Mexico City, and we're having a launch party here with everyone I've been traveling with for the last 4 months. And yeah, it's been a ride. It's been a real ride.
That's incredible. I want to just take a moment to acknowledge that, of like
the energy and emotion that you put into that, and I can't wait to read it. And that's so cool about having a launch party and next week.
Yeah, it's, I literally can't believe it now, even as I'm saying it, because it's the first time I've kind of said all of this out loud. It's all been through emails or, you know, in pieces. And now I've just, you know, gone through that whole story of it. And I'm literally on the cusp of being a published author. And the thing is, if I sell one book or if I sell thousands of books, to me, that doesn't matter. To me, the milestone in my life was having my work out there, being a published author, and having someone buy a little piece of my mind. You know, that's something that I have created purely from here, purely from my head, and it's on paper, and I'm selling that. And that's what I was getting at earlier as well, is that, you know, being paid for your talents and being paid for your mind is something I love the idea of. And just to think that something that I've created from nothing is out there on paper and it's affecting someone's life is insane. I'm so excited.
I hope this podcast does the same for somebody else as well. That I'm able to share that as well. And
yeah,
that's incredible, right?
Thank you.
And it's such a privilege to hear you say this is the first time you've ever publicly shared it. And
it is. And as I said, we've got that launch party probably in about 10 days now. And it's going to be with these people that I've been traveling with for the last 4 months. So they've seen my ups and downs and have supported me as much as they can, and have held me accountable for deadlines and things like that. And we have some staff, some remote year staff, some citizens. So those are people that have completed a 4 month or a 12 month and are in the city at the moment. And I have some friends flying in as well. So yeah, it's kind of all coming to the last hurrah and then it's out there in the world.
And also just the beginning too. So that's so cool.
Yeah, exactly.
So I guess that's amazing that you said you met the designer and editor kind of along the way in your journey. And I think, you know, one thing that I'm really curious about is, you know, what is it like to go on a remote year experience? You know, what kind of skills and skill sets and are you seeing? And, you know, what are some examples of some of those profiles of how people are able to be to pull it off and have such a great experience?
Yeah. So my group is unique in the sense that it is actually one of the smallest remote year groups. So I think we're about 20 to 21 people. So if at a push, we can all fit in a room. So we're very close. We got very close very quickly because there's no hiding behind, you know, some of these programs are 40 to 50 people strong, but the skill sets completely vary. Anyone that comes on remote year basically can do their work from a computer. All you need is a Wi-Fi connection. And we've got designers, we've got writers, we've got photographers, videographers, we've got programmers, HR consultants, marketing consultants. One guy is actually retired and owns properties in DC and is managing his properties from here and is just using remote year as a personal growth opportunity. He's learning to play the guitar, learning Spanish, figuring out what he wants to do next. But yeah, there's a huge variation of talent. There's a lot of side hustles going on, which I love. People get scrappy, you know, and we're all supporting each other in that and people's passions. And actually after this, I have a accountability meeting with a small group of us on this program where we all kind of set goals, what we wanted to achieve month on month, week on week, and a meeting to see if we hit those goals. And obviously mine was to get Golden Boy out there by the end of the year. And I can proudly sit at that meeting and say, yes, I've done it so far. So yeah, it's everyone here is different in their reasons for coming on remote year, is different in what they're doing on remote year. But everyone kind of shares that same, I guess that same mentality of openness and vulnerability. You know, you're traveling with a group of strangers that you've never met before, and you're living with them, you're working with them, you're going through these new experiences with them, and you're at your most vulnerable points, your most uncomfortable points in sometimes. And it's a real game changer because it is like nothing you've ever experienced before, and you can't quite describe the feeling that you have until you're here with them. I'm closer with some of these people that I've been traveling with for 3 months than I am from friends back home that I've known for 7 or 8 years, just because we've been through so much together. Yeah, it's a real social experiment. It's a great one.
Which then maybe creates, you know, personal growth can maybe create professional growth too, in terms of if you learn how to manage certain deadlines or get through certain hurdles and obstacles, then when you see it with writing or, yeah,
definitely,
some other project deadlines.
We've got a girl with us at the moment. Her name's Ariel, and she writes for BuzzFeed. And she had never really covered travel content before. She'd never written about travel. So she came on remotely because she wanted to change her writing and what she was focusing on. And it's been a push for her. You know, personally, she's in these new places. She's got all these new experiences. But professionally, her writing has changed and adapted. And now she can conquer that realm of travel writing. We've got another girl with us who works for a Latin American beer company. And she's used this opportunity to meet with people that are actually experiencing her brand. And it's changing the way that she's thinking about the brand and how to market that brand as well. So, you know, we're all in these situations of personal growth daily. But the professional side of things is happening as well, whether that's weekly, monthly, or it's just all up here in your head. People have really grown professionally too.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, one thing that myself and others, when they think about, you know, kind of remote work or, you know, kind of being a digital nomad and stuff, that they're probably, you know, they don't know how to do it or what it's really like. And maybe they've seen an article or they've heard seen a photo of a laptop on a beach and they're kind of like, that looks great, but that's not necessarily for me. I guess what one thing I'd be curious about is kind of like, how could more people think, hey, maybe I could go on a remote year. Maybe I could travel someplace. And because I have this type of skill or these types of communities, do you have any advice for people that are just kind of, you know, thinking about like, how could I incorporate more travel and work into, how could I combine those two?
Yeah. I think the first step you need to take is a step of consideration and saying, how much of my work do I do online? How much of my work do I do at my laptop? And how much of work can I do at my laptop? If you're in an office right now and you are having meetings with people in your office, can they be done online? Does your company offer working from home options? Whether that's a couple of days a month, a couple of days a year, do they offer that? And if they do, why aren't they offering more of that? The thing that Remote Year is doing, and actually the reason I joined Remote Year is changing the way the world works. And it's just a matter of consideration for the employee and for a company to say, hang on, can we go remote? Can we do this? We're basically doing it anyway. All of our work is done on our laptops at the moment anyway. So I think that's the first thing that you need to do, is that kind of consideration of the opportunity and the ability to be able to work remotely. Second up after that, is literally saying, okay, you don't ask, you don't get. If you're working for a company, they're not, no one's going to offer you the chance to work remotely. But if you bring it up, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be opposed to it either. It just maybe means that they haven't had that question raised before. You know, we've always been working in a certain way for so many years now, and now that the way technology is, we are able to work remotely, and companies can start changing towards that as well. It will help them. I mean, you're not paying for office space anymore. You have suddenly a global realm of talent rather than a pool of a 3 to 5 mile radius around your offices. So it's bringing that up with your company, or if you're self-employed or a freelancer, then that question is, okay, why aren't I doing it? What's stopping me? What's holding me back? And it's just taking that jump, you know, having that risk, so to say, and just saying, you know what, let's roll with it. It's not going to be smooth sailing. No way. You know, you're working outside of your comfort zone. You're working all over the world. But Remote Year provides you with everything that you need to ensure that you're doing your job as efficiently as possible. So you'll get a working space, and you'll get accommodation every month that is within walking distance of the working space. You get travel support, tech support, travel between each of your cities. You get all of your events laid up. So If it's not on Google Calendar, it doesn't exist. And all of your fun is organized for you. So it's literally like, I'll go into the office, I will have my working day, I'll look at my calendar and say, ah, it's, for example, tonight, I'm learning how to make tacos in Mexico City. Great. Why wouldn't I want to learn how to make tacos in Mexico City? So everything is organized for you so that you can literally just open your laptop, get on with whatever it is you do. And then in your free time, you can make the most of that as well.
Fascinating, fascinating. Do you, you work with content creators and, you know, do you see more need for content creation in Central America, South America? And, you know, is there any differences between that type of work compared to, you know, work in the States like New York, where I am?
So I think that content is king, and the way companies need to market now is very much through third-party referrals, you know, word of mouth. It's all well and good, a company creating content and saying, this is what we do, we're amazing at it, join us. But if someone else is saying, this is what I did, this was amazing, this is why you should do it, it comes as so much more of a solid reference than hearing it from the company directly. So I'm actually running a pilot project at the moment for Remote Year, and we're working with influencers and content creators. So I'm traveling with them. I have three of them. I have one content creator, two influencers. And I'm traveling with them for this 4-month period, and we're going to see how it works, see what content we can create. You know, Remote Year is really managing to have a say of how the story is told, but it's also being told from someone else's point of view, which is fantastic. You know? Yeah, and we'll see how much of a success it is. I mean, we've had tons of content created, just photos and videos that we couldn't get any like beforehand. And it's so amazing being with them here and going through all their experiences. And, you know, one influencer, her name is Becca, and she manages an account called Half Half Travel. And it's a travel photography account. And she manages that account with her boyfriend, Dan. And Dan is the videographer, so he's our content creator. And all of the content that she's writing for the blog is very much professional growth orientated, you know, working spaces that she's loved, networking events that she's attended. How has this helped her grow professionally? And then the other influencer I'm working with, her name, her Instagram handle is Jessica Rose Sturdy, and she runs a blog called Bows and Sequins. And her side of things that she's covering is the personal growth side of things. How has this changed her mentally? The connections she's formed in each city, whether that's to people or to the city itself. And it's actually really, really magical seeing this growth as they go and witnessing it every single day. I see them every single day. And, you know, at the beginning when I started working with them and we kind of set it up, okay, Becca, I want you to focus on the professional side of things. Jess, I want you to focus on the personal side of things. But actually seeing that play out and it being an honest retelling of their events that, you know, I was at, or I took that photo, or I was in that video, is really magical. I mean, we're on our last 3 weeks, and we went live on Instagram on Friday, which was our last Friday in Bogota. And Jess nearly teared up twice, and so did I behind the phone, because, you know, they're told to focus on these things, but actually going through it and experiencing it, and it's something completely, like, you can't set up this experience in your head at all. You can't be mentally prepared for it in any way because you don't know what it's going to bring you. So when we were kind of reflecting, the theme of the live was reflecting on the third month of Remote Year, and we were reflecting, we actually started doing it and it started becoming real, and we started talking about these experiences we'd had. And yeah, it got pretty tearful. It's going to be, it's going to be hard saying goodbye to these people. Yeah.
Well, maybe it doesn't have to end. You know, you mentioned that the project is, you know, this pilot is up in a couple of weeks and, you know, and coming out with the book. And, you know, I guess I'm kind of curious as to, you know, you took a leap, you know, and here you are, and obviously, you know, an incredible accomplishment to have the book, and then, you know, now you're kind of thinking what's next, and, you know, I'd be curious about, like, what kind of advice are you hearing, or what are you thinking about through your next journey now that you've gone through, you know, and seeing some things through remote year?
Yeah, I think I've really settled down into knowing what makes me happy and knowing what I don't enjoy. I think I knew that anyway before remote year, but now I have more confidence to say no, and I have more confidence to say yes. I know how far out of my comfort zone I want to be, and I know how far into my comfort zone I prefer to be. So yeah, after remote year, I mean, I've had these 4 months very much outside of my comfort zone, and I've looked for things along the way that have comforted me. Some things, really stupid things like brunch. And me and a few members of the group will go for brunch every other Sunday. And that's just such a thing that I used to do back home, and such like a big part of London and Barcelona culture. To be able to do that with these people really is a home comfort, and to, you know, discuss our week and that sort of thing. But then there are also other things that, you know, I am kind of pushing for. And one thing I really miss is beach volleyball. And I played that semi-professionally in Barcelona at quite a high standard. I competed up and down the coast, and I really, really miss beach volleyball. And I didn't realize I would miss it this much. So I'm thinking, in my next step, in my next action, I have to have beach volleyball in my life. I really have to be in a place where I'm going to be able to play it, because I can play. It's a passion. And I think a passion is defined by something you can do for hours and hours and hours and not bat an eyelid and not even think that, you know, a second has gone by. And I can play beach volleyball in Barcelona. I'll play for like 7 hours straight. I'll stop playing to grab some water or to grab, you know, a quick snack, and then I'll be back on the court. And I really miss having that passion in my life. And I think that in consideration of my next steps and what's going to happen next year, I need to have that factored in, definitely.
That's really interesting that like that one thing is not a professional, you know, professional act, especially after you've gone through so much, like, you know, be a published author and you're still clinging and demanding of yourself to have beach volleyball.
Yeah, I guess because a lot of the other things that I love and enjoy, I can do from anywhere. But beach volleyball, I need a beach. I need a volleyball. So that's something that I am definitely going to look for, and something that makes me really happy.
Yeah. Okay. I love that. And I guess if you know, for advice for people that are, you know, kind of just getting started with their career, considering you've met so many people and have such different experiences with people traveling and, you know, people applying to remote year and stuff, what kind of advice do you give people that are kind of just starting out on their professional journey?
A lot of the time I go towards the buffet analogy of being life is a buffet, not an all-you-can-eat challenge. And take little bits of what you enjoy, sample as much as you possibly can, and see what makes you happy, see what you really enjoy, and then go back to that plate and fill your plate with those goods. You know, I'm a very visual person, and I also love food, so this is why I do the buffet analogy. But yeah, don't overload straight away with one thing, because you're going to get bored of it, or it's going to make you sick, or maybe actually after 4 or 5 mouthfuls you're not going to enjoy it as much as you thought you would. So yeah, dip your toes in every sea, take a bite of everything you possibly can, and then go back to those things that, you know, really resounded with you.
Yeah, I love that. And I guess, is there, you know, as you look at, you know, different projects and work that you've contributed to, is there, you know, we talked about a lot here, is there anything else that you'd like to talk about as you think about, you know, kind of your career trajectory? And
I think, so whereas when I first came out of university, I was very much focused on getting a job and being successful in my career and making sure I made the most out of my degree. And so I was perhaps sacrificing happiness for career growth. And that's very much the London lifestyle of you have to go to this position, blah, 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 blah. And I was commuting every day for 1 to 2 hours. I was in a social media marketing agency, I was just not happy whatsoever. And But I just thought that that is what I needed to do. And 6 months in, I was like, Ray, 10 years are going to go by and they're going to fly by and you're going to look back and think, what did I do? Where did that go? What memories do I have? And they would not have been happy ones. So I got out and I took a risk. You know, I didn't have another job lined up. I was like, I've always wanted to live in Barcelona. Right. Okay, go. You know, the only thing holding you back is you. So I started looking for jobs in Barcelona. Within a month, I found a job. I moved over there not knowing anyone, not knowing a word of Spanish. And I just made it work because that's what you do in those situations. When you're outside of your comfort zone, you make it work because you have to. I landed this great job with this company. You know, I quickly climbed the ranks and I suddenly realized that professional growth doesn't necessarily need to be an unhappy thing. You know, you can enjoy what you do. So after that role with that company, I ended up as head of creative strategy and I loved going into the office every day. And I did not think that that was possible after the first job I had at the London social media marketing agency. There was not a day I woke up and was like, oh, I have to go into work today. And that was the best feeling. You know, my commute to work was a 10-minute bike ride through Barcelona City. It was just insane. And now with Remote, you're on the same. Like, not a day do I wake up and think, oh, I have to work today. It's just a part of my day that I genuinely enjoy and love. And I think that my advice for anyone, you know, looking to start in a new career or just get started in a certain area that they never started in before would be do what makes you happy. Because there are roles out there, positions out there that are really going to gratify you. And don't be afraid to say no to those ones that won't. And don't be afraid to say yes to those ones that will at the same time.
Yeah, I love that. Damn. The golden boy. Okay. Well, Ray, I'm so glad that, you know, Remote Year brought us together and it was so great to meet you in New York. And, you know, best of luck with the book and really appreciate your time here. And if people want to follow up and support you and in the book, and what's the best way to connect?
So I have Instagram. If anyone is on Instagram and wants to follow the journey there, I post about the book a lot. I post about my travels a lot. So that's at Ray Slater B. If not, then reach out to me on LinkedIn. I am completely open to any support I can get for the book or anyone that just wants to know more. Yeah, just ping me a message on LinkedIn and yeah, I'll reach out.
Awesome, Ray. I really appreciate your time and best of luck. We'll be in touch.
Thank you so much, David. I'll speak to you soon.